On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You go out there and the fish are where you think they are. Any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawks Cay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Welcome to the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Buzz Brackafan. Buzz Brackafan is a six-time daily. And
I can't even keep a straight face.
Can't say it. All right.
Buzz Brackafan is a six-time daily anal suppository where you shove right up the poop chute and you don't have...
It's so dumb.
Oh my God.
The podcast is actually presented by HHA Sports. Single pin sites. If you're looking for a new site for your bow, use code WCB15 on HHASports.com.
15.
We're shooting the Tetra and the Virtus Rest this year. Also brought to you by Scent Crusher, ScentCrusher.com. We don't have a code for them, but we love their gear bag, and we think that it would help you with your – one, it just helps you keep your shit in one spot.
Really saves your life when you're doing all-day sits for a fucking week.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of you just like looking like a sad man.
You look
broken. Took a toll on me, dude.
We'll talk about that in a later episode. Also brought to you by North American Whitetail Championship. Funny story about that. Well, here's a code, WCB25. Travis Thiel from Buckstorm in South Dakota killed a slammer, last night for the competition. He's the first entry that he knows of in that region. And it's a big buck. It's a big 8-pointer. So I think he's got a good shot at that one. Also brought to you by Thermoseat, Victory Archery. Steve loves a can cooker, so we'll mention that again. Lone Wolf Custom Gear, probably the number one tool in our arsenal this year besides our elite bows. This is the actual tool that's going to get you where you need to be to kill the whatever you're chasing. Eric, you've been using it all week.
I have.
I used it last week after my buck, and I'm using it again this weekend. Use code WCB on everything Lone Wolf Custom Gear.
Their full line of products include the camera and the new wind checker. I've got that wind checker, and it is nice.
Did you put cornstarch in that unit?
Yeah, I did. I don't know what a milkweed is. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine, dude.
I'm kidding. I don't hunt public land. I don't know what milkweed is.
That's fair. At least you're honest. You've been taking your best bracket fan, haven't you?
I have been.
Good for you, man. I'm proud of you. Also brought to you by Elite Archery. This year, we're all shooting the... Elite 35. Me and Eric are shooting 35.
35, yep.
I got the...
You got the 33 back out, huh?
I got the 33 back out. Yeah, you guys heard about that story, but yeah, we're going to get that.
I'm proud of you, man.
That ritual, that 30 is going to put in some work, too, I got a feeling.
Yeah, I have a kill episode coming up. I shot a buck last weekend at the time of this recording, and we're going to be heading down to Old Barn Taxidermy. And we're also brought to you by Big Tine and Leupold Optics.
Who?
And now we're on with the show. Got anything to add to this, like, just the best ad plug segment of all time, Steve?
Absolutely not. No, let's keep the show moving.
All right.
I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bowhunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bowhunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bowhunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working class. It's time once again for another splendid episode of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at Down a Gravel Road, couple hollers down, the beautiful Buckatorium Fantastic. New Windsor, Illinois. Man, it hurts to not say.
30 Rack Way.
Is that a country song?
Is it 30 Rack Way? Is that where we're going? All right, it's 30 Rack Way.
I like 30 Rack Way.
All right.
Works for me.
We're at 30 Rack Way. Beautiful Buckatorium. Splendid. Wonderful. Amazing. New Windsor, Illinois. I am Steve. Over there's Kurt.
What's up?
Eric's right in front of me.
Yellow.
Oh, my God. And we got some dude named Cole here. You know, what's up, dude?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. All
right, excited to be here.
This is Curse, Cole's. I said Curse.
This is Curse. Curse.
Hey,
this is
Cole's, yeah, that's my new name,
this
actually.
This is Cole's Curse. First exposure on the interwebs. Welcome.
Really? Do you not have Facebook?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, cool.
No, yeah, I'm just, that, I kind of stretched that a little bit.
First
time on a podcast. Team Hang and Bang in the building.
Yep. Boy. And you got the...
With another big buck.
Yeah, you got some other guy over here, too. He's just listening. What's up, dude?
He's just chilling, drinking some beer.
That's my less drunk driver right there.
And yeah, we're out in the sticks, okay.
Responsible. okay, so Steve has... We're going to start this podcast with a veteran shout-out.
Sure you want to do that? Because I got a news segment we can do after.
All right. You want to do a news segment first?
Doesn't matter. I mean, do you want to start the podcast off thinking a vet who has done some great stuff for this country, or do you want me to read the news that everybody's going to be
like... Let's do a vet, since we just had veteran today.
We should do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the vet this week here is going to be Blake Young. It's actually Cole's brother. He was in the Air Force, and from what I understand, he did a couple of tours overseas. Where did he do some tours at?
Yeah, he went to Kandahar, and he's been over to Germany. He did like nighttime drops for Special Forces, so he's
a cool guy, huh?
He's a good dude.
Sweet, good dude. Man. Cool. Right.
Well, Blake, thank you for your service to this country.
Thanks, Blake. We appreciate it.
Without guys like you, we wouldn't be able to say the dumb shit we say here, so we appreciate that. And, man, we appreciate all our vets. If you do have a vet shout-out, go to our workingclassbowhunter.com. Go find the contact page. There is a link you can follow. Follow it. Submit it. Let us know the vet's name. It'll go straight to my email. We'll give him a shout-out. And if I screw up, it's on me. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been doing a good job lately. Proud of you.
Are you?
Yeah, but don't get too sensitive with
this. Well, dude, this is the only thing I got in my life. No woman loves me. I'm not going into personal details.
If that's all you got, it's not so bad.
Man, it ain't so bad, dude. I love you guys.
You didn't have this at all.
That's true, too. Yeah, you remind me of that every morning.
I text you every morning. They just let you know today could be your last day. Yeah.
you fire him every morning.
You're on thin ice.
Yeah. Every morning. That's my good morning text to Steve.
Piece of shit. Tighten up, you bitch.
At least I'm still getting good morning texts from the homies. A lot of people don't get them, so whatever.
All right. So
could be worse.
Cole, you survived that part, so we're going to get Steve's news segment. So the deal with Steve's news segment is... We have to beatbox his intro, and then we have to clap after each news segment because I don't know why those are just the rules because we did that since the first one. So
you got to do it solo, though, because Doug ain't here to do the intro.
No, Chandler helped me last time, so you got to do it. You have to do it this time with me.
Oh, God, I don't know if I can do that.
We'll do it real fast.
Chandler killed it. I mean, he's a killer, so we'll see what you guys got.
Now here's Steve with the news.
With the news.
It's not the same without Doug.
It's not the same, but it works.
Oh, my God.
We made it work, right?
Oh, good Lord. A hunter was shot Thursday after he was mistaken for a deer by one of his hunting buddies, according to the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Captain Robert McCullough said the incident was reported just before 8 a.m. at Rochester Road and West Oak Highway in Westminster, Oconee County. McCullough said it appeared that a group of men was hunting together when the one man got out of his stand. He was mistaken for a deer by a member of the group and was shot. McCullough said the two men knew each other. And all I got to say is that, you know, I guess that's going to teach that guy to crawl around on all fours and wear fake antlers. During hunting season.
Was it a good shot?
I know he lived, so it was a bad shot.
What are you shooting at? Like, I don't know how this shit happened.
I don't know.
But it was 8 a.m. Like, clearly the sun's up by then.
Yeah. And he got down from his stand.
They got to be drinking.
They'd have to be, right?
Yeah. What state?
South Carolina.
They were drinking.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even North Carolina.
Moonshine, probably.
I don't know. It's not even North Carolina. Hopefully. Or Pete Pablo.
Would you
know,
be pissed if that happened?
Fuck yeah, I'd be pissed if I got shot. But you shot me.
You know what, dude? This guy's walking
around. Was it with a gun or a bow?
Does it say?
It does not say. It's South Carolina. That's the Wild East. I would assume it's a gun.
It's got to be a gun, right?
Just an old musket.
Okay. Loaded it with a bunch of old nails.
We're glad he survived.
Yeah, there's a couple of people getting shot in the news. Here we go. Two Vernon County men will be paying thousands of dollars in fines and banned from hunting anywhere in the nation for 15 years after they illegally shot 20 deer in 2018. According to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Jacob Menny and Monte Mob were charged with five counts of illegal shining of deer, which is a misdemeanor. A Vernon County judge ordered Menny to pay $12,250 in fines and banned from hunting, fishing, and trapping for 15 years. Mob was ordered to pay $9,872 in fines and cannot hunt, fish, trap for 12 years. And also, it says here they were both ordered to turn over their collection of DVDs of Fear No Evil.
Dang,
that's rough.
God damn.
That would turn around better than I thought. Quick punchline, but I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be a shitty deal, though, because the one guy's 15 years, the other guy's 12.
Yeah, that guy gets a spotlight deer 3 years earlier than his buddy does.
Here's what I think. If you get caught doing that, you should be in prison for life.
Yeah.
Fuck you. This is what it is. Maybe not life.
I feel like that happens. Like either Wisconsin DNR kicks ass, but I hear a lot of
I bet you it happens more than you think.
Or there's just more assholes in Wisconsin.
I retract my prison for life statement. That's a little harsh. I feel like you should do some time, and you will never hunt again.
At least get some community service.
I mean, because clearly them buying a license kept them from doing this. So I think the life in prison should be.
Agreed. Okay. Yeah, give them the death sentence. Fuck them. You know? Just go completely opposite direction.
Dude, I can't wait till he's ready to ride the lightning and they throw that switch like in the Green Mile. Booyah!
Damn. Yabba dabba dude. I got a comment on your...
Someone like that?
Apparently. One dude did.
that guy's
past news segment. Be glad you missed it.
Oh, my God. All right. And finally, it was... Another person getting shot. It was supposed to be an enjoyable night. Three friends were hunting in Lapeer County's Rich Township. Then one of them ended up shot and another in jail. Good God. What is going on in Michigan?
Fucking Florida?
This is Michigan, bro. It's North Florida. It happened at a property off Kelk Road.
It is North Florida. You're right.
The men were hunting
for sure. What's up, Michigan?
Oh, man. It happened off a property off Kelk Road. The men were hunting small game and scouting the area in preparation for deer hunting season. As the night ended, they were unloading their weapons. One individual thought his gun was unloaded. It wasn't, said Jeremy Howe, Lapeer County Undersheriff. And it just goes to show you that even if you are, because the guy was a member of the news crew, just goes to show that even if the news is slow, you got to do what you can to create awful news segments. Am I right?
Dang.
That part fell out. The one guy was part of the local news station.
Okay, this was a better news segment than you've had in the past.
Really? I thought it was choppy.
That was better?
Yes.
Okay. Well done,
Steve. Appreciate it, Cole. They can be rough.
Cole's the most relaxed individual I've ever seen in a studio right now. Look at this guy.
First time on a podcast, for sure.
Damn.
For sure. What's up, dude?
What's up?
Welcome to the show. Cole Young, everybody.
Three white cans.
Just drinking the Miller over there.
Is that your nickname? Light.
I'm
Three
sorry.
White cans? So sounds like a country song, dude.
It does,
Three white cans on my baby's driveway.
That is a country
because
song.
Because she's a Luke Combs song. With another man. By the way, Luke Combs has his own official Crocs out, and I hate to admit how much I want them because they're in Realtree.
Man, I'm about to piss a lot of our listeners off.
You're a Croc hater, aren't you?
No, I love Crocs, but I'm not a Luke Combs fan.
What?
I thought you were going to say you're not a Crocs fan anymore.
Like,
I don't care if you don't like his music,
dude,
but he's a good dude.
I think he's probably a great dude, yes. I don't know. I'm judging him off his music. I follow some pages online, like, he's going to save country music, so I clicked on his stuff. I'm like, no, he's exactly what everyone bitches about on country music. Like, he's Luke Bryan. He's Luke Bryan. He's Jason Aldean. He's like the same category of people.
He doesn't look like any of them guys. I think that's the thing.
You gotta remember, I listened to Ben Todd. That dude was just like just got off a heroin.
Yeah, he listened to a heroin addict who rides trains to his gigs. Like, and he doesn't pay for train tickets.
He just jumps them. I love that dude. But maybe I'm just How do we get on this? I don't know.
Because you're mad about it.
We were talking about Crocs.
I just got mad about Luke Combs for no reason.
Wait till you see his realtree Crocs. And
I'm sure he's a great guy.
I'm sure he is.
Cole, we're going to talk about you a little bit. So Cole and I work together, and Cole went to college with the old Johnson twins.
Oh, boy.
Which, yes, if you go sir. Back a
I
few
bet you
episodes,
that was in her. Hold on. Wait a minute. Were you in some of their videos?
I guess depends which ones.
Okay, because the Johnson brothers showed me some fun videos of four-wheeling and stuff.
Oh, I never had anything to do with four-wheeling ones. That's just got really drunk together, and
I could imagine that was a rowdy bunch back in the day.
I got some awesome stories about Billy, but...
Wild Bill, we call him.
I love Billy. Billy is... He don't live that potentially far, my favorite person ever.
Yeah, Bill's up there. Bill and Brian, they're big personality type guys.
Yeah, I love Brian.
They're due to come
just
back on another podcast.
As much.
Yeah, Brian's more of a, what some would say, a boner than Billy is, you know what I mean?
I love that description.
Yeah, great dude, but man, such a boner.
What a boner.
What a boner. Oh, my God.
Great dude, though. Great person.
Okay.
Great person. Yeah. Good morals. But anyway, yeah, man, where'd you grow up? Where are you from? We'll talk about deer hunting a little bit because we got a big boy on the table. We got to get into that story.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Erie.
Really? Erie, Illinois.
Yeah, Erie, Illinois.
Man, you guys got an awesome gas station with some great pizza up there. And it's Casey's.
That's Hillsdale.
If you know, I don't even know where that is. So.
But that's just right down the road.
Oh, yeah.
Hillsdale. What'd they always call it? What pizza is it?
Just Hillsdale Fast Break.
Yeah, but what's the pizza called? Because it used to be called something else. That's what everyone still refers to it by.
Was it a Piccadilly's at one point?
No, it used to be called Hillsdale Fast Break. Everybody calls it Hillsdale Fast Break, but it's now a Shell station.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still the same ownership and everything. Same pizza.
I used to live not far from there, and it was kind of out of the way. You didn't know that? I used to live over in Port Byron.
Oh, yeah, we talked about
that. So then, we would drive out and get pizza and drive back from that gas station. It's, way too far for that pizza, but...
Yeah, we used to have a buddy that...
I still love Casey's, by the way, for everyone who's listening.
Casey's is garbage compared to this.
What?
It's garbage compared to that.
It's just not as good.
Yeah.
Don't say it's garbage, you know? It's disrespectful.
Nah. It is disrespectful.
Yeah, it is very disrespectful.
You watch your goddamn mouth.
To the whole Midwest. It's disrespectful to the whole Midwest.
Don't you? Listen, stupid. I had the Midwest.
Any deer hunter that lives in the Midwest, Casey's is our, Lord and Savior.
Yeah, right? I know, but I don't... I had the Midwest fast break right there.
It's true. I had the Midwest mystery pizza, okay? And there was corn.
It's called the Midwestern, you dipshit.
Is that what it's called now? It was called the mystery pizza.
No, it was always the Midwestern.
No, it was something else.
You don't even know Casey's.
Listen,
dude.
All right, Eric, you're trying to
Casey's flex on everybody and you failed?
Bro, no, I'm serious.
It's called the Midwestern.
Oh, you want
to
bet?
You're probably a city kid, aren't you?
Yeah. He's a yippie for
sure. He's born and raised in Rock Island right over there.
I knew it. I could sense
it. Dude, I grew up in the hood, man. You want to fight?
I mean, we can.
Let me get my camera out for this one.
Dude, it's been almost 20 minutes. We haven't talked about anything.
We haven't.
Casey's.
Continue.
Casey's, I'm sorry. We're going to wrestle outside.
How long have you been hunting?
Probably, I think I got my FOID card when I was 10.
Youngster. Yeah?
Yeah, and actually the funny story behind that is I went to renew it when I was, 18.
Yeah.
And I sent a picture, an updated picture, and they apparently didn't work.
They used your old
one? So they used my old one. So I just was 10 for another 8 years.
Are you serious?
10 years. They're good for 10 years.
Or 10 years? Okay.
Yeah. You still have it now?
No, it actually finally changed to my driver's license photo.
Oh, nice.
I showed it to, I actually got checked one time by DNR, and it showed it to him, and he was like, "How old are you?" Sir, I'm actually 22.
That's hilarious.
You should frame that fucker if you still have it.
Did you get a ticket?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay, I was just checking. All right, cool. You started hunting when you were 10?
Yeah.
You're all good?
Yeah.
How long have you been bow hunting for?
I probably started bow hunting when I was, I think I was 15. Bought a little Parker youth bow. And
yeah.
Right on.
I think my first year I shot a little dinky six-pointer that I just got jacked about.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
He worked a scrape. It's funny that I still remember that after all the deer I've killed.
Just telling Steve
worked
about the
first a scrape,
and
I just gave him a little contact grunt, and he came right over, and I shot him. And
that's awesome. Do you remember what day it was?
No, I don't. No. It was October or something, but then, 15 days later, I shot like a 120-inch 8-pointer, and I was even more psyched, and my dad's like, okay, yeah, you're done. And that's how I learned about the 2-buck rule.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man. You're done.
Was, was that kind of heartbreaking after you got him and you're like...
It was. It was.
I could shoot these things like this?
But it was a good lesson, though, because shotgun season, I had like a Magnum, like this size deer, like 170-incher at like 15 yards with a gun, and I couldn't shoot him.
Oh, shit.
And I think my dad was proud. He was like, yep.
You fucker.
You didn't shoot him, and you learned something.
Yeah, that's crazy. Damn. That's a big growth period.
Like a hard lesson to learn, man.
Well, yeah, dude, I was like 15, so like that deer was enormous to me.
Oh, yeah, the deer's enormous to anybody.
Yep. Yeah. And then the next year I shot a 162-inch 14-pointer that's like, he's like 13, 14 inches wide.
Oh, damn.
With that Parker Youth Bow at 37 yards.
No shit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So you've been off to the races since then, since you started.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of have like an Austin Chandler type. Start.
Oh, man. Me and Austin talk about this sometimes because
you guys know each other. You guys went to school together, or you guys same area, right?
Right. So we actually went to the same. Yeah, we were in the same fraternity. I went to school with Dalton, his cousin.
Yeah, I've never met him.
Me and Dalton are real good pals. So then we like reunited when I started going down to visit Dalton.
Right.
And then we started talking, and Austin's like my. Like my mentor.
Yeah.
Like I look up to him and I'm always like, man, my man room is nothing like this. And he's like, yeah, but you're like 5 years younger than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just think about it. What yours could be.
Do we start calling him Lord Chandler? Because
I remember that.
it's funny because he's the most humble guy you're ever going to meet, dude. Yeah.
Most humble guy ever.
The episode just went live and I have not posted any of it.
Lord Chandler.
I'm going to have to listen to that.
Were we
going to
get shirts? Made.
We should get Lord Chandler shirts.
I think we're a little waxed.
Yeah, Chandler's on a level, man. But it's kind of cool that you guys know each other because it's the same. It just shows how like tight knit like hunters are in this area or just anywhere.
And
but
it's wild that you went to college with the Johnson brothers, which I didn't know those dudes went to college. To be honest with you,
they were there. They were there.
It's weird. I mean, they got a job where they tucked their shirts in. I know, especially I worked in a facility that
Can Billy tuck his shirt?
Oh yeah, yeah, he's got it down, man.
I mean, yeah, dude. I mean,
it's Wild Bill
works at. He works at parts now, right?
Yeah, I used to have lunch with him. We replaced the air handler unit there, and I used to have lunch with him every day. Well, every time I went in the break room, he'd be in the break room. And
God, I love me some Billy.
Yeah, Billy's an awesome dude. So you started off just like Chandler did, basically killing brutes from the get-go. Like, there's no lag time, none of that. So, I mean, I imagine you have a resume built up. Like, we've talked a little bit. I know a little bit about some of the deer you killed, some of the deer you're on, and we've got to be friends from working together and just kind of built up. Actually, I think how we met, when you started at deer, you used to work with our buddy Trevor Schmidt.
Yeah, so I kind of became good friends with Trevor.
Damn, no shit, dude. This is a small world.
And,
from what, working at Alcoa?
Yeah, because our work areas were, like, we worked all over the plant, obviously, but we had, like an area where we could store all our stuff, and the fitters were right across the way, and Trevor was the foreman, and I was a foreman, so we always had to talk to each other for jobs, and then, we found common ground, and then, he told me about you, and then...
Yeah.
3 years, four years later, I got a job at Deere, and he's like, man, you need to talk to Kurt. And then it was like, we first talked at my bench when I was like brand new, and we were sitting there talking about deer hunting for like 20 minutes. I was like,
yeah.
Did we just become best friends or what?
Yeah.
I do karate in the garage.
Yeah. Like,
well, it's cool to work with guys at deer hunting. It's rare. It's rare when I'm like in a place or anything with someone that has the same, like, they might deer hunt, but they're not, like, into it like I am, you know what I mean? So it's nice to, like, have someone to talk to at work where, like, you don't want to be there type of thing, you know?
Funny story to kind of maybe connect those two. So this is about 4 years ago, maybe a couple days ago, is exactly 4 years ago to the day where we're recording this was we did episode 40 with Trevor Schmidt when he shot his big bastard out of the Texas tripod. I saw that on Facebook today. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, I don't think – maybe he did – I know he killed the deer out of there. I can't remember if it was the antler doe or that big bastard, but I know
I think it was the same year,
wasn't it?
Was that the same year?
What?
That he shot those deer?
He shot that buck and the antler doe in the same year.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, yeah, yeah. I know one of them was out of that Texas tripod. And I'm like, yeah, you got a cover on that? He's like, no.
And it's like out in the middle of a CRP field.
Dude, he's like it's like 15 yards off the timber line. And yeah. Trevor's a stud.
Yeah, yeah, he's a great dude.
Yeah, you're not going to meet a nicer guy.
No, definitely not. Well, Bill, maybe.
Yeah, him and Billy, they would nice you to death.
Nice you to death. So, dude, you got on Team Hang and Pang this year after we got to be friends. You were a shoo-in, you know, it's whatever. You didn't really earn it.
Oh, wow. Didn't earn it at all. No.
No, but if you have a leather koozie, though, Cole's the guy that made them for us.
Yeah, yep. And there might be some patchwork in there, patchwork for hats.
Yeah, I think we should go full patch for a
hat for everybody.
Yeah, for everybody. For I think so.
You'll be proud of me that koozie I got, the Fat Bastard, is signed by Ric Flair.
No way.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, all right. We're back on
the Fat Bastard.
We're back on track.
The Fat Bastard, yeah. Ric Flair, dude, when he read it, he's like, and I gave him a koozie and shit. Like, I handed it to him, and he's like, where do you want me to sign it? I go, you can sign whatever side. And he's like looking at it. He goes, that's a nice koozie. And he goes, Fat Bastard. He's like, that you? Oh, that's you.
So the funny thing is like, so it's my parents actually own the engraver. So, but I help them run the program because they're 60 and they didn't grow up using a computer. But I was making those koozies and I was like, this is what Kurt wants to put on here. And my dad's like, you really gonna engrave Fat Bastard on there? And I was like, I don't know, man. That's what he wants. So he's like, why can't you just put like Fat Guy? And I was like, I don't think.
That's not what he wants.
I don't think that's as good.
Customer's always right.
Customer's always right. Yeah, Dad. Get away, dusty old man. So, yeah, Cole is the leather work man. He hand chisels all of our leather work.
Yes.
For the store.
He makes the hot press, right? And then he heats it up. So he engraves the metal, and then he heats it up and presses on it. So each piece is very intricate, man.
Yeah, handmade.
That's why our hats are $500 a hat.
Yep.
they're going to be.
$4.99.
Yeah, $4.99. $4.98.
Free shipping.
Yeah. To where the fuck ever you order it from. Okay, big bucks, man. So you got on Team Hang and Bang. We got to be friends throughout the last few years. I get a text message from you. What was the date of this hunt?
I think it was November 2nd.
Yeah, so just fresh into November. I'm in a stand. I just threw up a Hang and Bang. I'm in the stand. I'm getting texts like, I think Chandler killed his brow tine stickers and mask buck the same day.
It was probably within
minutes
of each other.
Yeah. So November 2nd was a good year, 2019. So I get a text from you, and I'm like, holy shit. So kind of just like,
holy.
I think I just messaged you, and I was like, I just killed a fucking giant.
Yeah, you did.
And then you're like, picture.
Yeah.
So I went down and trailed the deer, and I mean, I think I sent the first picture I sent you was just him laying there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you
just
can
him
just
laying.
See his.
You tell he's a stud.
See him sticking up. Yeah.
So give me the breakdown. Like, did you know this deer? First of all, let's talk about this buck, so like listeners can envision this deer. The whole story, like, just kind of explain what
he probably
is.
In the cover art, right?
Yeah,
yeah, but if they're on iTunes or Apple Music, gotcha. Or whatever they listen to now, they won't be able to see it.
And paint the picture. Do you have any history with this deer? Like, go back as far as
I'm talking, break him down. So, now, I mean, like that way, I people mean, know what to picture.
Typically, I do like that's one thing me and Kurt always talk about is typically any deer I hunt, I have significant history with. Like, I have found sheds. I have hunted this deer hard for a few years, like that big 8-pointer that my dad killed. Like, I had tried to kill this deer for like 3 years, and then
yeah.
It was a funny story. My dad killed him in like 15 minutes of sitting. Like, never. My dad thinks that everything before muzzleloader season is a waste of time. And it's funny because he shoots usually like the oldest deer on the farm. It's
hard to argue with the guy.
Wrong.
But
shit.
No, this deer, this is actually the first. I mean, it's really the first big deer I got pictures of in velvet, and yeah. He's a mainframe 10, and he's got that one sticker. He's got a G5 on that one side.
Mm-hmm.
And he's heavy, and his beams curl way around like that. So me and my brother started calling him Curly.
Yeah,
and then we got a couple.
So how many years do you have history with this guy, or is it just this year fresh?
So I've been sorting through sheds, and I can't seem to. I have a set of sheds that I want to say is his.
Yeah.
But I can't confirm it for sure.
Well, because his right side's really unique. I mean, the way it's sitting here, like that shit. Yeah,
he's got
does
mass
curl
all the way through his.
Yeah, and he like really flattens out on the end of the beam. It's.
And it's super curled, just the way I'm looking at it.
But like we're talking good beams here, good twos, good threes, good fours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that one beam's like 27 and some change or something like that.
This side?
Yeah, really? I think it's 27.
Let me see this little unit. Pass them on over.
Something like that. But
I love big bucks in the studio, man. Yeah, that's crazy. That beam's 27, damn.
It's just awesome because he comes so far back around.
And he's got awesome color to him. He's got like a dark, real dark chocolate.
Right, so I actually had trouble like getting solid pictures of him because it seemed like wherever he was standing it seemed to blend. That's that camera, Kurt, remember that I had that's that first picture I showed you, and you're like, man, you must have that camera like hanging up in a tree.
Yeah, that's a nice buck.
Super nice buck.
It's a brute. So give us a breakdown. So you got some pictures of him. You got a picture of him in velvet.
Yeah, I got, so then I did get hard horn pictures of him, and then, so our farm is kind of unique. It's basically my grandparents owned, 1,200 acres, and then, but they have 8 kids.
Yeah.
And then my dad bought the property that butted up next to that. It's like 289 acres or something like that. But then over time, you know, we kind of, dad picked up the stuff around it. And so it's kind of neat because we get pictures of deer that stay on one side of the farm, and then we get pictures of deer that come from the other side.
Right.
And this deer, generally speaking, stayed on the one side of the farm. You ain't going to break him, dude.
Steve's like trying to set him down. He's trying to set him down quiet.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make a lot of noise because this table just dropped like dunk, dunk.
So he was definitely living there.
Yeah, so I. Honestly, I was not specifically expecting to see this deer, but it sat, I think it was Halloween that night, or it might have been the next night.
Thursday or Friday night, because Halloween was on Thursday, weird enough.
So it was Wednesday. So it was the 30th, and I sat that morning, or no, it was Halloween. I sat the morning, and it was right before that that heavy snow.
Yep.
And so like everything was weighted down. Mm. And I didn't see any deer all morning. And then at like, I don't know. So it was before the time change. So like 7:30, 8 o'clock. This deer just come right down the hill. And I range a spot, 43 yards. Dialed my pin. Clicked my release. And dude, by the time I got my release clicked, like, he's already in the hole.
He's there.
Like, he, and he's just on a mission. I don't know what he's doing, if he's late to bed or what, but he works his scrape, and then I couldn't shoot the scrape because there was, like, a branch, a small tree that was just weighted with snow.
Just hanging right in your way.
Right in my way.
Yeah.
And then he only worked that scrape for, like, 30 seconds, and then he was in the timber. The opposite way. And I was like, well, there was a really good encounter that's probably gonna go to nothing. Right. So, but I'm
just in that split second.
The whole thing happened in.
It went right down the fucking tube.
Like in less than a minute, probably.
Yeah.
So I let him work off, and I love to call it deer. That's That's why I like to hunt.
Well, you're interacting with them and stuff.
The end of October till into the first week of November. Like that's my favorite times because they're receptive.
Yeah.
And I let him walk into the timber a little bit, and I just made a couple, like, contact grunts.
Yeah. Something subtle, but where he can hear it.
Yeah. I just want to get his attention. So he looks back, keeps walking, grunt again. He looks back, keeps – I'm not in a – my ideal spot to call is where I have, like, a severe visual block.
Right.
And I didn't necessarily have that. I'm kind of in a flat. Like in an oak flat, and he's up in some thick brush. So I let him go a little bit further, get him into some thick stuff, and I just hammered him with a snort wheeze. And he just looked at me and then just right back on his way. I'm like,
he
what
didn't
the
give
hell?
He didn't give a fuck, did he?
Yeah, so.
It's typical, usually.
I gave him a minute, and I probably gave it like 15, 20 minutes, and I was like, I'm going to let him get over that hill, and then I'm going to smack the horns together, see what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Smack the horns together right away. Deer coming right back down the hill. I'm like, oh, no, holy shit, I just called him right back in.
Here he comes.
Yep, coming right down the trail, and here's like a 2.5-year-old. I'm like,
ugh. God damn it. Oh, shit. It's usually how it goes, though.
So that deer works off.
So that small buck just ran past him, pretty much.
Basically, yeah. Like, you know, like, that's funny.
He's just
like
running by with the finger. Fuck you, I'm going this way.
Like, I'm going to get, there's some women over here, man.
Like, oh, shit, dude, fight's breaking out. And the guy's like, I've seen great fights. I don't need to go see this shit.
But I was dead set. I was like, so I sat till like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I just left everything in the tree except for my bow. I always carry my bow out. But I left everything in the tree and came right back. And then that night I'd never seen him, and it kind of didn't pan out like I thought. I thought for sure that deer's working that way.
Right.
He's going to come back tonight, but it didn't work out that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad I didn't try to take a shot. The funny thing is that snow melted off the next day or by that afternoon.
Yep.
Dude, that's so crazy getting snow.
That scrape was totally shootable. Like, there was a shooting lane. Once.
Oh, right, because the snow had the tree.
That was so weird because there was still a lot of green in the timber.
And snow.
Yeah,
and
snow, so, yeah. Like, insane. Those branches just, everything
is this
way,
the 29th? The 29th or so?
I think that's
the 30th or something.
Yeah, 30th.
So the 29th was right before the snow. And I checked my trail cameras. I have a trail camera in my yard. Bucks on it. Trail camera at my lease, which is okay. And trail camera at my other property. All my trail cameras were lit up the 29th. Those are during the week. So it's like I couldn't be out hunting.
Right before the snow?
Yeah, dude. It was lit up. Every trail camera I had had a good deer on it.
It was funny because we had talked like that week, and I was like, yeah, I got Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday off. And you're like, ah, man, I think maybe you're just a little too early. And then it snowed.
Well, the weather changed
it
that.
It snowed on Wednesday, and I was like, then you're like, oh, man, I think you fucking nailed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, I went out the day of the snow, that afternoon, and I haven't seen, like, we have good deer on our lease, but it's not like, this isn't like a Mark Drury lease or a Lakoski lease. This is a working class bow hunter lease. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. This is what I can afford to lease with my dad and my other buddy. So I'm not even fronting the whole bit for it. I'm a part of this recipe, you know? But that's what you got to do if you want to hunt. And, we've had some good deer on it, but you don't see a lot of deer on it usually. It's an interesting place. As I'm climbing up into my stand, I look down. There's two deer fighting before I can give it up there, and this is in the snow. Like, it just had them going nuts. And then I saw a good 8 bush and does around. Biggest deer I've ever seen on my lease. And they were just out and about at that time. It was awesome.
I'm curious what it is about the snow or, you know, obviously
the
when
weather
Yeah,
general,
when snow
man.
Comes in that front, like, how do it – it always boggles my mind, like, how animals know, like,
the high-pressure system coming in.
Yeah, and how they're so in tune with that, like, you know, because
oh,
I guess
cold weather and snow late October.
Yeah, it's woo. It's wild that...
Boy. Dude, that's
man,
a...
I'm telling you, bro.
That's the best.
Man, it's...
Yeah, it doesn't like, get any better than
it does
what
not.
Happened this,
I'm telling you,
this
though,
year.
Do we not have a record?
Still? Hunting with snow on the ground is fucking awesome.
I love it, but
I kind of like...
I love it because you can see so much more. Like off in the distance, you can actually see deer moving that without the snow, you probably may not have even seen.
Yeah, I just in October though, that's kind of one of my favorite things about it is. It's like
no snow.
Yeah,
yeah, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? It's the early season type,
dude. You know, I always talk about like the high pressure, clear sky type days. The cold, clear sky,
that
sunny.
Big sun out. Yeah,
that's when I kill 90% of my deer last Saturday when I killed my buck, same type of day.
We talked about this last year because in my favorite days of all time, maybe because I'm such a depressing head case that I love overcast days because everybody else hates them. But
I like them.
I love overcast
days. For some
days.
Reason, like when I see an overcast day in fall, I'm like, dude, what a beautiful day to be alive. And then you get like a high pressure day and you know like, you can just look up in the sky, not a cloud in the sky. You're like, dude, it's colder. Fuck out there. For some reason, you can see how cold it is in
I
the
like
sky.
Those cold, crisp, sunny morning, like November mornings where the leaves are, they're crunchy, but they're frosty, mm-hmm. and it's just cold. It's,
yeah, and a buck comes in there, yeah. he's got frost all over his back. You
it's
know,
the
that
best.
Kind of shit.
That's the best.
You can see him fucking breathing.
Yeah, yeah, that's the best thing. So let's go back into this, because the story, we're laying the, it's just like November porn right now. Like yeah, we're audio yeah. porn and on the November hunt.
Yeah, you guys don't know what
dude,
great November porn is.
Dude, it's the best time ever.
No, I know.
It but, is.
Sorry, I just kicked the fucking table over.
That's great, dude. I love it.
You're getting that excited, huh?
Yeah.
And yeah, we went straight from summer to winter real quick. We had like a, maybe like a week of fall.
Wake the fuck up. That's what Mother Nature did.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's time to hunt, boys.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you fuckers driving your diesel trucks, this is what happens. It's like, okay, I'll take it. Fuck it.
Diesel 911, save the day.
Yeah, plug that bitch in.
Yeah.
Dude, we're really ruining our flat Earth's ecosystem by driving diesel trucks.
Yeah, water's about to spill over
Are
the
you
edge.
A flat earther?
Dude, maybe.
Are you asking if I'm an educated man? Yes, I am.
I thought you were on like some flat Earth like dating website.
Oh, no.
I bought Steve a flat Earth map for his housewarming gift.
It's awesome.
That actually would be a cool gift.
It's pretty
it's
cool.
It's legit cool. I got to show you a picture. It's great.
Okay, bucks. Big bucks. We're That's talking about big deer in Illinois.
Cruising the flat
Continuous
Earth.
Continue us on after this snowy, beautiful October 29th, 30th area.
So, yeah, then like the 31st comes, and I hunted the morning, but I didn't sit that stand. And then...
Is your phone on there, bud?
I got two phones, bro. Sorry.
Put that bitch on yeah, airplane this, mode. That son. Was, that
yeah, two phones. Okay, bad. Two chains. Good God!
I can carry your work phone on you.
Two phones. But so I hunted the morning of the 31st, then took my kids and went trick or treating on Halloween night, and then I then the next day what did we do there? So the first I hunted, and I didn't really have. I mean, I had small bucks moving and stuff, but it wasn't real great. And then Saturday came, and since I've ever had short hairs, I always hunt opening day pheasant season. I don't care yeah. what's going on.
I thought you said you just like cut your hair, so you had short hairs.
That's no,
what,
no.
That's what I was picturing.
I thought when he said I had short hairs,
I was like, oh yeah, he must have shaved his head.
That must have been his first pubes when he had
no,
short
no.
hairs.
I'm
I didn't
talking
know you were
talking
about dogs.
I'm talking about real okay. bird dogs.
Cameron would have been.
I was like, yeah, dude, you cut his hair. Short hairs.
Short hairs.
Yeah, right, I got my short hairs. And actually, me and Chris went out that morning. I love my dogs, so I do.
Yeah, you're a guide for pheasant hunting, which you didn't add earlier.
Yes, I do that.
It's cool. I want to kill a pheasant.
Hilltop Meadows Hunt Club, probably the best run one around here.
Morrison, Illinois?
It's off of Garden Plain Road. It's more of Fenton than Morrison.
Mm.
Fenton, big town of 35 people.
Really?
I used to camp in at Morrison Rockwood all the time, and I found out you could hunt it, so I wanted to do a nostalgia hunt one there one time.
What's that Good. With? A stick?
We won't talk about that place.
What? You don't like that place?
Nah, terrible hunting. Terrible hunting.
It's an awful place.
Overpressured.
I used to camp there. I used to walk through the woods, and I would go try to find the hunters in October when I was a kid.
So you go there and high five everybody else that's already out there hunting.
Bro, dude, yeah. I was hunting the hunters, man. I became the ultimate predator, the apex.
So yeah, so I go out. Me and Chris go pheasant hunting. We shot a bird that. It actually, I'm pretty sure it was a hermaphrodite. It was the neatest pheasant I've ever killed. But anyways, that's another story. So the whole time I'm telling Chris, I'm like, man, I should have been in the deer stand because it's just money. It's good. It's good hunting for. It's good bird hunting weather. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And can never have a bad time bird hunting with a dog, in my opinion. But so we get back and. Hang out with the kids afternoon. I was like, I'm going hunting.
I gotta go.
Because my wife's like, we're gonna go do trick-or-treating at my sister-in-law's. So I'm like, oh shit, kids will get double candy. They'll love it. So they go and I go my separate ways and it did not take long. But I did get in the stand. I got in the stand early.
Yeah.
It was like,
so what day is this? This is November 2nd?
This is the 2nd. So it'd be the... Is that the day?
It's Saturday,
it'd
right?
be Saturday. Oh, because they delayed trick-or-treating because of the weather, right?
Right. Some towns yeah. did, so... But Erie didn't. So my kids got the trick-or-treat in Erie, and then they went and trick-or-treated in Port Byron.
Good deal, man.
Oh, we're ballers.
Right on.
Ballers.
Yeah. All in the camp.
They sound like the Quad Cities.
But I got in the stand, and it was probably 3 o'clock. I just had a big eight coming. I'm basically in a big bowl.
Right, okay.
I mean, like a half bowl, and I got a 100-acre cornfield that ain't been picked, and that's where I've basically been getting all my pictures of this deer.
Mm-hmm.
And basically like 2 logging roads. One goes to like a tile cut,
mm-hmm.
where we clear the trees and run a tile line out. But it's basically a big oak flat. And then up towards the top of the bowl is all like real brushy. It's all honeysuckle and it's right. Nasty. So I had a buck come in, and I heard a big mature buck grunt. And yeah. He comes in, he just busts like 8 does out of this stuff that I didn't even see.
Like bedded down?
Yeah. And so then I caught a glimpse of him. I mean, in my mind, he was a shooter 8. Since then, we've gotten pictures of him, and he is a shooter.
Yeah.
But so I tried – he come in there and busted those deer up, and he kind of just hung out in there. So I just let out a couple contact grunts again, and then I got a little more aggressive because he come in there, and he was being really aggressive, you know. So after that, kind of everything settled back down. He must have busted back over the hill
mm-hmm.
and just moved on. I kind of sat there for like a half hour. I'm like, man, I thought for sure this deer was going to work this way.
Right.
And then he didn't. So I hang my bow back up.
So you don't snort wheeze at all?
I mean, so I did.
Looking out of left field.
I'm just kind of curious.
No, I mean, I just said earlier that I tried that with that with this buck when he was working that scrape, but as soon as that deer come in there and he was aggressive like that, I did. I let out a couple grunts, and then I did hammer a snort wheeze, and it was like, the problem was is I couldn't even see him, so I don't even know how
he probably didn't even hear it.
Sometimes that's a problem with that,
especially when they're tromping brush.
But I tried to get a little more aggressive with the calling, but at the same time, I mean, I've called it enough deer that you know when to stop.
Yeah.
So I just
there's an art
I kind of just let it go for a bit because it's only like 3:30.
Right. Yeah. Early.
You know, and then like 4 o'clock comes around. All these does are kind of like all working back together. And then like 4:15, I look down and I got a doe coming right on my boot track. Right to me. I'm like, oh, shit. You know, but I've been really good about getting in and out of the stand.
Yeah.
Without getting busted. So she comes right to the base of my tree. And I don't know what the hell I did. Me and my brother hung the stand in September. Well, we must have picked like the money acorn tree, because every deer that comes through there sits and munches acorns right under the grating.
Yeah.
which is great, but at the same time you're like,
you kind of want them to move on.
Come on, honey, go ahead.
Yeah,
like, so it's cool seeing deer, but when they sit there for 20 minutes just eating acorns, you're finally like, okay, just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we need the next one. Yeah. Move along.
Yeah, I got into the stand going. One time, and
it's such a like a greedy type of deer.
Oh yeah,
right?
Just crunch it.
Because some guys just kill to see deer.
Like, oh yeah, and she's just sitting there looking at you, just going.
It's the fear of like being busted and having her blow you out, and then you don't feel like you're in the game anymore.
Right.
That's for me personally. Anyway, I'm like, okay, good to see you. Like little bucks will hang around. I'm like, good to see you, bud. All right, come on.
Yeah,
move along.
Shoo.
Yeah, shoo.
Yeah. When it's all, yeah, when
I
it's
sound
all
like a total asshat, but
it's
it's true though.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you understand what I'm
you
saying.
You kind of just move along, do your thing. Let's get the next deer in.
Yeah, like to me, a successful doe encounter is she comes in, she's in shooting range, and then she works the same way.
She just keeps going.
Go.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyways, this doe's just sitting there, and then I look up, and I've always kind of, that brushy patch where I've seen that buck is kind of like behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of leaning against the tree, facing behind me, because I'm just waiting for him to come back. And then I get a button buck, which is that doe's fawn, that's underneath me.
Yeah.
And he just comes, and he's like 25 yards, and he will not move. Just stone straight, looking straight down the trail, and I'm like, what are you doing, buddy? Like, what's going on? Go eat acorns with your mom or fuck off, you know? Yeah. Do something.
But the one good thing I will say about that is, like, I always watch that deer because they will see another deer coming before you will. So if they're eating acorns, it's crazy. Like, that doe will see a deer, and she's just like,
yeah,
she's so seeing something, and you're like, okay.
She spotted it for you.
Oh, yeah.
So that's exactly where the story is going.
Yeah.
So that button buck, I will not move, and he just keeps looking straight forward. I'm like, what are you looking at, guy?
Mm-hmm.
So look down. That doe is, I mean, she's through the grating. She's that close.
Right.
She's head down eating acorns. So I kind of just like fully tilt my head all the way around, and I look, and he's just coming right down the trail on a beeline. He's already at like 45 yards.
So you're like, oh, shit.
I'm like, oh, my God. So I just grab my bow real slow, click my release, look down. She's fine. Button buck's fine. He's still moving. Mm-hmm. Like, he's on a mission. I think what happened is he heard that other buck in there. Then he heard my grunts. And he was close enough that he's like,
he come running.
Somebody, yeah,
well, let me go see what's going on.
Somebody's in my territory.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And, dude, I went to reach for my rangefinder because I got that new Tetra.
Yeah.
And I was like, I tried to get in the habit of ranging, whereas normally I'm not that good about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, don't need it.
Don't need
it. Dialed right under 20, cleared it, and I shot, and I've never had a deer do this, but he, like, death roared when I made contact.
At the impact of the shot.
It was amazing.
I've never had an impact, but when they fall over and do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so he did that when I shot him.
Oh.
Dude, you hammered him.
I knew right away that I just...
It's bone chilling.
Pinwheel.
Woo, that's a good feeling, man.
That is
good.
Dude, I was so stoked.
You shoot, how far is he at the shot?
So I ended up ranging, and it was like 22 yards.
22 yards. You pull back. Feel good? Do you feel good when you get back? I got an anchor?
Dude, I mean, I don't want to sound like a dick, but like anything under 20, like, man, I just feel so good about, you know, that I'm saying he's in the truck already.
No, that's how you should feel. That's confidence, dude, in your practice. That is a good thing.
Just, as soon as I shot, he made that grunt was just amazing. I've never had any deer do that in my life.
Right. No.
And I shot some big deer and I was like, what was that? And then he took one step. And then he just fell straight on his face. And I looked, and I mean, there was like a 4-inch gash behind his shoulder. Oh, and I was like, oh my God, I just nailed him.
So
like,
I just destroyed him. From when you shot him, he took one step and fell over.
No, he took one step and just like bulldozed. And then he got back up, and then he went like 45 yards. The funny thing is, so I'm looking around the tree because it's kind of going behind me.
Right.
And I'm like, go down. Go down. Go down.
Yep.
And I just didn't hear nothing. Just silence. And then, like, everything just calms down. 5 minutes later, here comes that doe with her button buck. And I should have freaking shot her because that's one of my rules.
With a button buck.
You see a doe carrying a button buck, you shoot that doe.
I wholeheartedly believe that. I've said that on the podcast.
Because the button buck will stay there, right?
Right.
That's the theory.
So, the theory is that if you shoot a doe carrying a button buck, that button buck never gets run off, so he stays there a majority of his life.
Yeah.
You go down there and you rub his cheek with your, like, the back of your fingers. You say, you grow and I will kill you one day. And then you kiss him on the cheek.
I'll kill you before you have a miserable death.
It'll be okay.
I'll kill you before the coyotes do. I'll do you that favor.
So come to find out what happened is that deer died right on that logging road.
No shit. Your buck.
Yeah.
You didn't shoot the doe. The inner redneck was like, didn't win.
So
he didn't knock an arrow right after that.
It's funny because now that I'm going to sound like a sissy, but I don't care. But like, since I've had kids, I have a harder time shooting does carrying fawns. I don't know why, but I just do.
No, it makes sense.
I've had that issue since I started hunting.
Yeah.
I have that issue.
I get it.
That's how you know you love your wife more than you love yourself, because that buck was some deer's father, and you had no problem killing him.
I got no problem killing a magnum, but it's just, you know, like, I was going to shoot her, because I was like, oh, if I'm gutting one deer, I'm gutting two, and then that button buck came up, and he was like licking his mom's face, and I was like, you know what? I bet I'm good. I'm good for tonight.
He loves his mom too much.
we're gonna kill one deer tonight, and we'll call it a day.
She took her. So you were like, she's probably taking her son trick or treating. I can't just kill.
Yeah, maybe they didn't go on that bad weather night.
He's gonna dress up like a coyote,
or he was gonna. Hey,
that'd be a great.
That was probably he probably killed his father. If he would have killed that doe, that buck would have turned into Batman, right? Because remember, Batman saw his parents.
He'd have been an orphan. Isn't every deer that gets its mom shot an orphan?
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You know what?
I liked what you were trying to do there, but it didn't make any sense.
Oh, it makes sense to some people. Not everybody, but some people. And for those people.
I thought it was fairly entertaining. So you just wax this fool.
Thank you. You wax this fool.
And he runs off. He goes about 45 yards. Did you see him go down?
No, I didn't see him go down, but I didn't hear anything. So that was what was a little nerve-wracking. But,
yeah.
You know, I've made what I've thought is an awesome hit on deer before and had trouble. So then I get down about, I don't know, it was probably 25, 30 minutes, you know. I have a hard time when you put a hammer shot on him.
Yeah.
Waiting a long time. I just kind of waited for that doe. And
30 minutes seems like 3 hours at that point.
Oh, man. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So I get down, and I'm just looking for my arrow, and I can't find my arrow anywhere. I'm like, oh, this is a good start, you know? Like, what the fuck? Where's this thing at? So, but then I find blood. So I walk down the trail, and I'm like, I got to find my arrow. So I turn around. I go back after like 10 feet, and I'm like, it's right here is the impact site. Like, where's my arrow? I can't find it anywhere. Only thing I can think of is that, like, it buried.
Yeah.
And then, finally, after, like, 5 minutes looking, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, fuck that arrow. So I just get right back on the path, and, he
Did
died.
Did you ever find the arrow?
No, I never found the arrow. Don't care.
All right.
I know guys that literally, when they shoot a deer with an arrow, they just throw it away. Broadhead and arrow.
Really?
Yeah.
I retire the arrow.
Yeah.
You do? If it's clean, I'll still use it.
No, I retire it.
My dad killed, I don't know how many deer with the same arrow and broadhead.
That's insane.
My dad had one of the aluminum Eastmans with like the strike.
Oh, yeah.
Ammo,
oh, yeah.
And I'm talking about it with a Muzzy 3-blade. He killed, I don't know how many deer with that broadhead. He resharpened the broadhead. He killed the Geyer buck with it and like, I don't know how many other bucks with
That's
it.
That's insane.
Dude, how much of a savage are you when you're like, you've already killed a deer with a broadhead and you're just sitting there with a grinder just sharpening it like, can't wait to kill another.
They make
like,
the little Muzzy sharpeners.
Yeah, I've seen that.
He just resharpened his broadhead and he shot, 5-6 bucks.
Have you ever seen the arrow straightener? I haven't been hunting long enough. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like, yeah, you can straighten out arrows.
Shooting a doe, I think, is one thing, but like, you know, like a big 5-year-old. I mean,
well, if I shoot a doe with an arrow, I won't retire that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Carbon arrow, you know, they're not bent. That's a beautiful thing about it.
Right.
You know, they go back for the most part to straightness, but
I shoot full metal jackets. So
you're a mix of the both. You're a hybrid.
What's that?
You're a hybrid.
Yep.
You got aluminum and carbon in that old deal there. Yeah,
best of both worlds.
Yeah. You should get on that victory game, son.
You should.
Those RIP TKOs are great arrows.
I'm sure they're great arrows. I just, once I...
You're setting your ways. That's
once
what it
I
is.
Get settled in, I'm good.
Yeah, dude, even that. I've killed deer with victories. They work.
Yeah, that says a lot.
That actually is probably the best selling point. They should actually get you to do a commercial.
We're not doing that.
I can kill a deer with this, you sure as shit can too.
So what happens when you get down? Like, how long do you wait for you to recover this deer?
I probably waited 20 minutes.
That's fair. After 20, what you saw.
25 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
Right. I had a hard time sitting there after he did what he did, and I seen that.
Yeah, you want to go like right now.
Yeah, he's dead.
How many people did you call?
I called my dad. My dad's always my first call.
Mm. Yeah.
Everyone's first call.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Not my dad.
And he was actually trick-or-treating with my kids in another town, so he was happy because he got to leave. He's like, you going to need me? And I'm like, well, I think actually my cousin's husband was hunting the property next to me because it all got split up, so he's hunting my uncle's property.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you know, Nick's out here. And he goes,
You know what?
Yeah, you're going to need me.
I'll just head that way. Mike. Sounds good.
But yeah, dad wanting to get out of that.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
All right, everyone else, listen. All right, son, I'll be there to help you because I know you need me now more than ever.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm on my way.
All right, I'll leave the grandkids. I got this shit taken care of. But why did they dress up in the same costume 3 years in a row? Frozen isn't even a thing anymore. Anyway.
So
you're an idiot. So
my brother ended up calling me because I texted him. He's like, "Awesome, man. Which deer is it?" And I'm like, you know, like I said, I think it's Curly, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "What do you mean you don't know?" He's like, I was like, "I don't know, man, but it's a giant. That's all I know." You know, because it happened fairly quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a good, but this deer did not, from what pictures I have of him, he doesn't look this big.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he looked like 155
inch. I can see that, yeah.
150 inch 4-year-old is what I thought he was, but then, I mean, obviously once I killed him, I'm like, yeah, he's 5. All day.
Yeah. That's a big buck.
That happens, though, where you're like, someone asks you, okay, what happened? I'm like, I don't fucking know. Yeah, it happens so fast. Yeah. I have no idea what happened.
I can't tell you what the shot was like. I mean, I can tell you what it was, but I can't tell you exact because it just happened quickly.
Yeah, well, your adrenaline gets the best of you, and that's part of the fun. That's like the rush of it.
It is.
You
know, bow hunting.
Yeah.
That's why I bow hunt with a compound bow instead of a crossbow.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Let's hear it.
Bro. Just not a fan.
No, I get it. Some people need it, but
I got scolded about that.
No. So that's a whole different.
It's different.
Whole different line.
I'm playing to the listeners.
Yeah. No, but like my dad is 65 and has had shoulder surgery on both shoulders. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You shoot a crossbow.
You should be able to have a crossbow.
Absolutely.
That's why.
For sure.
I just don't see what was wrong with Illinois' original law, but.
I hear you. Hey, I don't disagree with you.
Nonetheless.
I do. I've done plenty of rants. I don't feel like I need to do anymore. Dude, you know how many rants I've had on air bows?
I say, should we talk about the air bow?
No, don't fucking bring up the air bow. We've had a long time.
Let's talk about
you brought it up.
No, anyways, but that's what I'm...
Fuck you, Eric.
What I'm trying to say is that's why I bow hunt is because of that.
That type of experience.
That, exactly.
Yeah, so this buck is
not
a slammer,
to get negative. Not to
so
get negative.
He's a dark chocolate-ish buck.
I would call him marble because he's big got beams. That white...
Yeah.
Veiny shit through him. It's weird.
It's so veiny.
Hey, I'm throwing it's measuring so parties, man. So you have to bring that guy in, enter him in the book.
I've seen that, yeah.
To bring him on in.
So, just bring this?
Well, by the
or
time
bring other things to measure?
The first just measuring round, objects. He won't be through his drying period, which is 60 days before you can put him in the book. But yeah, other bucks okay. You can bring. I'm going to do two. I'm going to do a first phase and a second phase measuring party for all my buddies to get their deer entered. Bring
I'll
them
just
on by.
Put them in the freezer then.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. Don't tell me that.
Put a dowel rod between the spread so it doesn't shrink. That's a thing. We'll do that shit.
People really do that?
Yes.
Can you see the marks so you can tell this, where the...
It's not...
I don't know. I've never encountered it.
It's not that.
Not yet.
People do it, man. I've had deer. I've measured deer green score. Just like, hey, can you green score my deer? And if I don't know you, it's like, all right, if I green score it, come back and enter it. Like, that's the deal after your drying period. And I've measured a pile of deer green score and actual dry score. Mm-hmm. Some deer don't shrink maybe 2/8 of an inch, like not much at all. And I've seen deer shrink 2-3 inches.
That's what I was going to say, though. It's all minuscule. That's, like,
every deer's different. It depends. I think it just depends on the deer, honestly. I don't actually know. I don't have any scientific proof, like, to prove what...
It's osteoporosis.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I've seen deer dry so bad that once they dried, like, they had, like, a split G3, at the split would crack.
Ooh, really?
Because it shrinks so bad.
Mm-hmm. I saw that happen, which I don't know. Maybe something else happened to it that I'm not aware of that might sound insane,
dehumidifier?
Yeah, I was about to say, if you put in it like a humidor, like cigars, is that illegal? I'm not trying to like stir up shit, but like if you want to preserve your,
I don't know,
oh my
antlers, because
so
I
have to take it to a fucking cigar shop or what?
Fucking lay it on your bench and walk away.
Let me have some backup on that statement about that deer splitting. It was at I measured a lot of deer at Mark Strife's taxidermy shop because he had clients that wanted deer entered.
Yeah.
So I would go there. It was one of his clients. He had the deer, it dried. Yeah, do your thing. Right. Cole's got to pee, everyone. We could hear that in the mic.
Thank you.
lift up on that
he's
door.
Whisper it.
All right. Cool.
Okay, just open it like.
You're doing great.
Yeah,
But yeah, once the deer dried, it split. And there was really no other explanation for it. I do not know.
See, that would tell me it dried too fast.
It's weird.
It shrinks and it cracks.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
And
I don't know.
Maybe it was a hairline crack anyway from when the deer was alive, and then it just, like, split more over the time. I don't know.
Well, but, yeah, you would think that, I don't know, that's kind of mind-blowing to me, you know, the temperature change. Because obviously, you know, like, you know, obviously properties of metal expanding and, you know, contracting, like, heat.
That's
cold,
where I'm
all
going
that,
off
all that
of.
Shit.
Like, metal, if you cool it too fast, it's going
to
crack.
Exactly. So wait, that's weird to me. But again, because I don't know how antlers work. I
my guess it's some sort of freak thing, and maybe he had a crack already.
Because there's no blood flow going through the antlers when the deer's alive, right?
In velvet, there is.
In velvet, there is. But I'm sorry. When it's hardhorn, it's all gone. Which is wild why antlers fall off. Do we really need to get a biologist in here? And I'm going to compile some questions that should
be. Like 2 years. We've been talking about getting a biologist on for a long time.
Did we need to find a biologist? I think Mark knows one, don't he?
I don't know. We need to find one.
This shit just interests me because, one that specializes
in whitetails. And that, like, they're just a biologist and, like, grasshoppers are their thing. And they just, like,
just all wildlife. We just need strictly whitetails.
Grasshoppers are there. I seen a chick on Bumble that was a grasshopper environmentalist specialist.
Yeah, dude, you should have matched with her because she's not crazy.
She was gorgeous. I don't know why she didn't match with me.
Redheaded, huh?
Dude, she was. Shut up.
Right,
shut up. She was into turtles, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Loved a good painted turtle.
Good God. No, I'm just that's a very interesting thing, dude. Like the green Cole's
scoring. Back from peeing, so everybody knows.
I didn't realize how like they could shrink either drastically or not at all. It's just it's wild to me.
I got to bring my buck over that I shot 2 years ago because you just green scored him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, measuring party.
Yeah,
bring him on in. I ordered 30 entries for that night, and I didn't want to order more because I'm gonna do two phases. Get all the homies deer.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna have you measure my deer too.
Yeah, I'll do it. Probably do like 60 inches.
Hey,
I'm gonna trophy tape him, bro, and we're gonna see how close you are.
Okay, we'll do it.
Did you stockpile on trophy tape?
Yeah, I ordered like 1400 rolls.
That's good
because everybody's deer is gonna do like 180 190 I'm assuming.
Yeah,
if any girl asks on Bumble and Tinder, yeah, I'm trophy taped.
That slack on the inside spread, you're getting like 4 or 5 inches.
It's a little droop.
Yeah
okay.
That's the way it works.
Slack. Good Lord. Anyway, did we get to the actual recovery here? We got off on a tangent. So the
you
last I remember
pee.
You
That's
get,
what happened.
I know,
I had to take a leak.
Before
That's
that,
a
when
fucking
we
guy to take a
tangent,
whiz. Leave him alone.
The last thing I remember is you said, you know, you went in about 10 feet, backed out, started calling everybody. I don't believe we ever got to the actual recovery. He said he's 45 yards. Did we get there?
No, we did not.
Okay.
No, so he basically went just right through a little thick patch of timber and... So it's funny, he actually died like 15, 20 yards from where my Booner died. Like,
no shit.
7 years ago, yeah.
That's
cool.
But
isn't it weird, though, if you don't hear him crash?
It's a really, really weird feeling.
It's an empty feeling.
It sucks.
So the same thing happened with the one deer I have that's Net Boone. And I shot him with a gun at like 10 feet. I was so mad. I was like, I've been hunting this deer. So I had him at like 60 yards of the bow. I had him at like 55 yards of the bow. I had him at like 80 yards of the bow. And I could just never, ever close the deal on this deer.
He just wouldn't come in.
The one time when he was like 55 yards, he had me pinned in the tree. And I just, like, I couldn't do anything. And I didn't want to bust him. So I kind of like just soft busted him. I don't know if that's a term, but he kind of just
it
like
is now. Jeez, open that door a little slower. God, dang him.
Soft bust.
So he
was
just
a hard bust or was a soft bust?
That was a soft bust.
I mean, that's basically to me. That's when a deer just like kind of knows what something's going on, but he just went straight back the same path he came.
Did you grunt at him then?
Nope, I left him alone.
So it's
you
like
just
it's like
out of a tree.
He just kind of had me pinned. He didn't know what I was.
Gotcha.
But so he came like behind the stand, and I have no cover. If they
so
come.
It's the same as when you walk into a Casey's and you see there's a long ass line. You're like, you know what? I'll just hit the Casey's a mile down the road and get my slice of pizza. Like that's a soft bust. You're like, eh.
Yeah, same exact thing,
okay.
Steve.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Exactly. All right. I just wanted to check.
But yeah, same thing happened though. So I shoot this deer and like he crashes, and that was amazing to me. I shot him with a gun and I took out. I mean, I went in his shoulder, and we looked when we gutted him, and the bullet went through his heart, and he went like 65 yards.
Damn, insane.
Is that amazing? That's what I love about big mature deer.
It's all that residual blood, dude. That has to be.
They just got that will to live, man.
It's insane.
Like, it's crazy. He just went 75 yards without a heart.
Which
so the same thing happened though. That deer just like slid on his chest. When I found him, his legs were straight out, and he was just laying in
power slid,
just laying in grass.
Just laying in grass, just relaxing, sunbathing.
I was like, oh my God.
Dude.
I just shot a booner.
Is this your biggest bow buck?
It's close.
So is your second biggest or what?
Okay, so my other big bow buck scores 169 and 7/8. So what do you want me to do?
Damn.
This one, we taped him out the other night, and it was 170 on the nose.
Really?
Oh, shit.
It's a big boy, man. And once you get in that 160 range, you're dealing with some different animals, you know. Like 150 is a great deer. I shoot 150 every year. I don't care. That's what I do.
Fucking A, Billy Ray.
I'm stoked with that. But
this is my new favorite saying.
Fucking A, Billy Ray.
But you get
it comes. It's better coming from a guy with a mullet too.
Right.
Oh, fucking A, Billy Ray.
You touch that 160 plus mark, you're getting to some big boys, and it's They're just fun to be around.
It's a different animal.
A lot of people don't realize how big a 160 is.
No, they don't. They don't.
That's a crazy thing.
A lot of people don't realize what a 140-inch deer is.
That's true.
That's true. It's very true. A lot of people don't. Just people don't. They're not around them.
Like, I'm not the best at scoring deer. I'm not at all. Like, if I see a deer, I'm not the best at scoring them. But I can get pretty close.
So always try to tell people to, like, you know, it's not necessarily the antlers that you have to pay attention to. It's the mannerisms of the deer and how they act, the body size.
You can tell the deer's mature.
That's what I can tell more of.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bad problem of looking at antlers and not body size. Like, a deer that I've seen a couple times.
Yeah, but you're in a different spot, though.
And I am, and that's something that I need to grow as a hunter because I'm finally starting to see. A lot of times I've gone out, I've seen some good deer, like shit. I'm like, oh, I've seen that on TV. I'd shoot it. You know what I mean? Like with that whole, and I'm doing the air quotes, the shooter. But if it's getting me excited, I'm just looking at the rack. And I've had a lot of conversations about a particular deer with Kurt and Mark Reif. And Mark asked me, he's like, what'd the body look like? I was like, I have no fucking clue.
I don't want people to think that I just came out the door. Right. Blowing down 170s, like I shot a lot of, you know, I learned a lot. You know, I shot a lot of deer. You know, I shot a deer that I thought was 140 at 120 yards, and then I got up on him, and you know, it was not. You know, it was a 2.5 year old or a 3.5 year old,
right.
And you know, so it takes a lot of sitting in a stand.
Steve, you're in a little different space. It's like, we just had that conversation. My buck out in the living room. I was like, oh, tomorrow I'll kill that buck 14 years ago. My first buck with a bow.
It's super cool.
And so it's like, yeah, but
you got to grow, man.
I always say you got to climb the ladder with anything. Like when I went out west and I killed my antelope this year, my antelope is not Pope and Young. But by golly, you know, next time I go, I'm going to be shooting for a Pope and Young.
Yeah, right. He ain't sure around here.
It's like you and I got to climb that antelope ladder. And there's certain things like you can't do that with everything because it's a time frame. Like I can't afford to hunt all the time in South Dakota to try to kill a Boone and Crockett antelope. Like, I'm going to kill. If I go, every time I go to South Dakota, if I can shoot a Pope and Young antelope, I'm shooting it. I'm not going to wait for a Boone and Crockett. It doesn't mean as much.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's like antelope are amazing. It's a cool thing to do, but whitetails.
You never know. You might not have
it. Nothing better than a whitetail buck, in
right?
My opinion.
Yeah, there was
for sure.
It's our bread
monarch,
and butter, though.
Man.
It's our bread and butter. You know, there's guys out west that grew up on mule deers that are like, nothing better than a mule deer booner. Right. Mule deer Pope and Young, that's the best. And, you know, I can't blame him for that. That makes perfect sense.
No, yeah. I would agree.
I've had a very, very good season. I mean, I haven't put a deer on the ground yet, but I've had some really good deer in front of me. I've had that experience of okay, now I'm seeing a deer, and I've got on a good one where earlier in the season, I've seen, like, really small bucks that time last year, I would have been shaking like a leaf and smoking that deer. But something kind of changed me. Yeah, I want to start chasing these better deer. And it's just, it was that wild feeling that I'm like, I was kind of heartbroken when I saw, like, a buck that wasn't quite the buck that I shot last year. But again, that time last year, I would have shot it, and I was a little disappointed. I was like, damn, dude, that feeling is gone of seeing anything and wanting to put an arrow in it, which is, it's not exactly a bad thing. It is growth. And then when I start seeing a deer, I'm like, okay, now I'm going to start getting on it. And a really nice thing for me is I've had a second encounter with a really nice deer. And for the first time in my hunting career, I went in to a hunt that I was like, I'm going to kill this buck. Not just, I hope something walks by. I'm going in to kill. And it was, I remember thinking to myself, as I'm driving there, as I'm getting out, and I was talking to the landowner, I'm like, I'm going in to kill this deer. And my whole sit in that stand, I didn't sit there. I stood the whole time because I knew, I was like, all right, every time I've had an encounter with him, it's been right near dark, and I'm like, he came out one way, and then he came out another way. I'm like, it's just, it's not going to happen. And something kind of changed in me that was like, okay, instead of just going out and trying to see stuff, I'm like, now I'm starting to think of strategies. I'm like, all right, well, maybe if I come in this way, and it's just been a wild season for me.
You're just now starting to apply everything you've learned over the past 300.
I just wanted to admit that to you guys. That yeah, that was nice. No.
You've seen him twice.
I appreciate the level of comfortability right now.
Yeah, I am. No, I.
So, but don't get down on your. I mean, don't start a. I guess don't start that with like I haven't killed a deer yet this year. Like, did you? That's been 10 years for me. Between bow kills, and my last one was 169 7/8, and this one's 170. Like, you got to – I mean, in between there, I've killed a couple deer with a gun. Yeah. But
deer like this don't come around.
That's just how – like, I mean, me and Kurt have talked about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't – I'm excited for whatever deer you're excited for.
Right, yeah, that's what matters.
I don't go into your office and tell you that – you should only be hunting 170-inch deer.
Right. Well, that's not realistic for most people. It's
right.
You know, it all depends on your situation. A lot of it's your mindset. A lot of it's your situation. You know, I've never had a piece of property where it's like, hey, dude, in 10 years, you'll be hunting here. You know, so for that, and I think that most working class people kind of have that situation with their ground. It's like, man, you can pass those four-year-old 150s, one high 140s, 150s, 160s, but you might not be here next year, so...
Yeah, the landowner might die, and then they might...
But also, you know, devil's advocate to myself in that statement is, you know, there's a lot of guys like, well, what if you do get the chance to hunt there for 5 more years, 10 more years, and those deer that you are passing will be those 170, 180s that you talk about how you want to kill. So I get the double... It's like that double-edged sword, well, you know?
And that's where, like... You always say, you know, Doug's like passing these good ass deer.
Yeah.
We know that property's going to always be there.
Right. That's true.
We know that. We know
right,
that.
Right. And that's the same thing
we
I got.
We can pass up those younger deer where, yeah, we probably want to shoot them. But then it also goes, it's like a 135 came in the other day and my heart just started racing. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, it's not a big buck, but I just got that.
Yeah.
That edge where, okay, it started racing.
It takes.
Your though. Mindset's right. Your
but
mindset's
it sucks for right. you being in Iowa because you could have smoked that and had a great day, but then your season would have been done.
Well, not, I mean, yeah. For archery, yeah.
That's why I said archery, Illinois should copy what Iowa does, honestly, I think. But
like, we can still shoot 2 bucks. We just can't shoot 2
yeah.
archery.
Yeah.
Like, or 2 gun, right?
Well, you can shoot.
If right, you draw right, a muzzle right, loader, right? You can shoot 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or yeah, can you yeah. only shoot?
That's
like
correct.
You have muzzleloader or shotgun, not both.
Right.
I like,
so it's archery or one of
Iowa's
the guns.
Got that real late muzzleloader season, too, yeah. which I
yep.
totally
and our with. Shotgun's later than your guys's, too. Yeah. Ours yeah. doesn't start until
7 days. Right?
I think Iowa should do that, or Illinois should do that.
Iowa starts, the first shotgun season is the first weekend in December.
Yeah.
Well, like, for example, like my buck that I shot last weekend, Like, I don't regret shooting him at all.
No.
I think he's a stud 10-pointer.
No, it's a great deer with a bow.
Watching him, I'd be like, he's one. Well, one point I was like, and I'll get into the story on another podcast. He's a very deceiving deer. You see him from one angle, you're like, damn, 160. You see him from another angle, you're like, damn, high 40s, maybe 50s. But either way, I'm pumped with him. The hunt was incredible. I can't wait to tell the story. But that type of deer, it's one of those deer, it's on that brink. It's like, man, I've hunted this one property that I killed him on for a couple of years. And I might have 10 more years there. I don't know. I might have one more season there. It's one of those properties. It's just not mine. I don't. It's a lease technically, but I don't like. It's just not a solid contract type lease where it's like one of my other leases. Like I can tromp around, do whatever I want.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very feathered type of property that I have permission on, and I feel like most people that hunt private property, that's kind of their situation. They don't have that security. So I'm like, man, there's no way I can pass this buck. Like, this is a great deer for me. So,
right.
And I don't want to look back on good success. I got to recover with my dad, which was incredible. And that's the thing with a lot of people I think can relate to. They can't look back and be like Mark even said on his podcast, like, fuck, I never had the buildup. Like, I never killed a pile of, like, good bucks to have some great bucks, you know, in there in the mix too. So I had to wait and just kill nothing for 15 years to kill a great buck and then kill okay bucks after that, you know.
Yeah, right.
But and now, you know,
I would rather kill 15 good bucks and then kill two great bucks than to not kill anything for 20 years to kill two great bucks.
But think about it now, too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's for sure.
And think about it now. Like, you're a working man. You got a kid now, and that's a big responsibility. I remember,
that's true. Things have changed. But Cole's got fucking a tribe.
And I was just going to say.
He's got a tribe.
A shitload of kids, which two of which are probably mine. But,
what do you got, like fucking 10 kids or what?
No, I just got three.
He got three
in 3 years.
They were talking like you had 10 of them.
What do you got, Irish triplets? Good God.
Yeah, the two get mistaken for twins a lot.
That's those are Irish twins there.
Yeah.
They're not quite, like 14 months.
Okay, but so they're close. Not Irish twins.
Right, they're Scottish twins.
I'll start calling them that. Scottish twins. So every time we go grocery shopping, they're like, are those two twins? So I just started telling
people. No, they're not Irish twins.
You should have been like,
no. I just started telling people, yeah.
You should have been like, no, it was my birthday and it was our anniversary.
You said
it's funny.
Where
those two kids came from.
Yep, I got a strong seed. That's all you said.
Yeah.
No, I think it was just the same. It was the same time. I think it was just still in there. Yeah.
It just delayed.
Oh, my God. Wife does a lot of yoga.
I had one. I had one slow swimmer.
Only one popped out. The other one hung on. That baby was born at it. That baby was born with a mustache. What the fuck? But no,
the second one was a girl.
Oh, my God. Whatever, girls have mustache. They just don't pass.
Maybe the ones you date. Could be.
Anyway, no, it's just, it's kind of telling. Like, you guys got kids. You guys work all the time. You know, you're trying to be a family man, handle business. Like you know, your story. You try to go out. You had to go trick-or-treating. You know, you probably could have had a 180, but it doesn't matter. None of that shit matters because your kids are getting raised. Didn't your kids hunt yet?
One's four, one's almost three, and
got a bit, man.
One's
okay, so they got a bit. I didn't know how old your kids were.
But, dude, that's kind of like me and Kurt talked about this the other day. Like, I've kind of really, really settled down. I used to be, like, gung-ho. If my neighbors, like, killed a 3.5-year-old, I was mad about it, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just totally...
Dude, there's so many...
Mellowed out now, like... I just,
in some of these places we hunt, there's a lot of bucks that slip through the cracks. That
right,
you know what I mean.
Now I basically got the mindset of I'm out to hunt one, maybe two deer a year.
Yeah,
but
so have you been hunting? Well, since
but
you
if
here?
Like my brother or
let me ask you that
my
question.
Cousins kill something that's you know not a deer that I would shoot, like it doesn't matter to me. Like I'm still.
Let me ask you that question that I kind of talked about earlier. It wasn't really more of a statement on my part, but let me turn it into a question. Would you rather hunt 20 years and kill two bucks that go 170, or would you rather hunt 20 years and kill 20 bucks that go 140 to 150?
I don't. So that's
you know
probably,
what I'm saying?
That's probably a bad question for
that's
me.
A fucking no-brainer, ain't it?
Do you know what I'm
because
saying,
because I
though?
Just did it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I would. I don't know.
We've talked about this before.
But you get, like, what, you get what I'm trying to ask?
I understand completely.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate to, like, what you're saying. Like, I'm trying to create that conversation there because...
No, and that's what I... Like we talked about before we started the podcast. Like, listening to Clint Casper, like, that's... When he was talking about, like, I tried to set out for, like, one specific deer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's basically exactly what I do every year. And... Like, this happened, you know? Like, I'm 10 years in between bow kills, but...
Yeah.
The last one was one... Almost pretty much 170, and then this one's 170, and...
So the last 170 you shot was the last bow kill you had before this one?
Yes.
You didn't kill anything in between?
Nope.
For 10 years?
It's for 10 years.
Oh, damn.
God damn. See, I don't think that's worth it to me.
He did it. No, it's not worth it at all.
Not for me.
No.
See, and I'd do it again.
See, I would just feel like...
So, in between there, I lost a deer that was 170.
Yeah, but...
That I had a lot of history
okay,
with.
Okay, so let me break this down then. Like, how many years after your first one did you wound that deer?
Probably, I don't know, four or five.
Okay, so then you went 6 years without even shooting at a deer.
Yeah, I mean, I shot my net boon 2 years after I shot that once, that other 170, and then, or 169, whatever.
So let me, so.
And then I shot another buck that's like upper 150s with a muzzleloader 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
So what you're saying is you're okay for, if you went another 10 years without shooting anything, as long as. A
it's
caliber
this
like
caliber.
This.
I mean,
you're okay with that.
I mean, so I'm not okay with it, but I'm.
You're willing to go
I
through.
I have
it.
Enough discipline, I guess, now to.
And that says a lot about you as a person and a hunter. I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's well, a thanks, huge man. Deal.
But I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to be like negative on you. I'm just trying to throw this conversation.
No, no, no.
At you.
I like this conversation. This is
because
one of my favorite things to talk about hunting.
If I could kill,
because for me, it's not about. It's not about
it's your personal deal.
Blood.
It's your personal deal.
Exactly.
And that's a cool thing is like you have a different personal deal than I do versus what Steve has versus what Eric has versus what Clint Casper has versus what Chandler has. It's yep. It's always a little different. And you know, score is just a number. It's cool to say you hit that 170 mark.
Exactly. For me it's age though.
But I bet you if this buck, if one side was as big as that and the other side was like all crazy and busted and wasn't going to add to a score and you had a giant drop tine or something crazy, you would have shot him because he's cool.
So we got another buck on the farm and his name's Randy. It's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Okay. Because you said another deer was named Excalibur?
No.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
No, it's...
I thought I heard Excalibur when I came back in, but I apologize.
It's Randy.
Leahy.
Curly.
Leahy.
And Larry is our other deer.
Larry, Curly, Larry and Mo? Needs, where's Mo?
Mo hasn't been discovered
yet.
Mo's okay. The fat fuck.
Actually, there's another deer that we've considered calling Mo that is a fat fuck. He has like 15 points, and he's old as balls.
Fucking stud, yeah, I know.
I had him at like... 65 yards. That was that one deer I was telling you about.
Yeah.
But that was like a week before this. But no, the other deer, Randy, like if he would have, so I have history with this deer and we've got five of his sheds of the last 3 years. So like match set last 2 years and then one the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And like we have a lot of history with this deer. If that deer would have walked by, he's 7.5 years old. I would have shot him and felt the same way.
That chimp, bro.
Yeah.
And he's maybe 130-inch deer.
That's cool, though.
That is cool.
It's just it's maturity just, plays in. Like we talked about it 100 times. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but some deer just don't ever get the antlers.
And that's crazy. It's, I mean, I see a lot because, I mean, I'm completely humbled to be able to hunt where I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't thank my dad enough till the day he dies.
It's a right. dream.
Because he doesn't even know what he's done for me. But we get to see these deer grow and mature, and that's
It's cool, man. That's a cool opportunity.
That's the dream. Awesome. That's the American dream, man. And, you know, anything could happen. Like, you've got it. And it's awesome that you appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd rather see a guy with, like, it sucks to see people with opportunities like that not.
Yeah, I don't want people to think I'm some asshat that just has awesome ground.
But you're an asshat, for sure.
I want to
drop.
Yeah, you're an asshat, but yeah. You're not just an asshat.
But this also is a good point to show that, like, and I've said this on a lot of episodes in the past, is people like to do that public versus private debate.
Sure.
And that's annoying to me because it's two different skill sets in hunting.
I agree.
Because
totally different.
Imagine only hunting for the working class people the same 50 acres every time you go. Every single time. Yeah, you're going to figure it out, but the deer are going to know you're there.
For sure.
So you have to be very diligent on your entry. Like, it's just a different set of skills where you go to YouTube, type in public land hunting. You got dudes chasing deer from one end of the piece to the fucking other end and back across and right to the fence line on every private on the – that's the game.
And yeah, not everybody's going to be a Jared Scheffler.
I'm never going to do that on a deer like this.
You can't.
Like, if I blow that deer out
– you're out of there.
Once, in my experience, if you get a shooter buck in that's, you know, a 5.5+, and he knows you are there – in my experience, there's a very, very slim chance that you're going to see that deer again.
Yeah.
Especially in that spot.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Especially a deer this big.
I saw somebody post something about that, and I don't want to play a devil's advocate or anything, but I'm going to. Somebody said, okay, well, if that's his home, like, if you bust him out of his home, it's like, okay, well, where else is he going to go?
He's going to come back once, and if you're not there to kill him...
People can tune into the DeQuisto series podcast and learn a little bit about that. Andre talks about it. There is a method bump and dump, but like
that's what Cole mentioned. That's what I'm talking about.
You got to get in there and get in there right now.
Yes.
I bumped him. I'll think about hanging that stand in 2 weekends. Like, you already lost.
Well, and that's what I think a lot of people go into. They bump and they're like, oh, I'll just wait 2-3 weeks. He'll be back.
Yeah, bad mindset. Right.
No, he was already in there, smelt your boot track, and then decided to move his bed.
Yep, he's out.
Yeah, you got to get back in there, let him come back, figure it out. Boom, that's when you kill him.
Yeah, so actually I learned that.
By the way, that's going to be a full-blown fucking podcast here on the DeQuisto series. I'm going to get Andre and be like, hey, listen, we're all idiots. You're God. Tell us about this. And he'll probably be like, out. Shut your mouth. I'm about to spit some knowledge.
I want him to spit on right under your face. He should. I want him to spit on my face. So I'm like, I have that good luck. Just
That's, you're probably into like that shit, things. Aren't you?
I'm not into that shit. I'm not into
fucking.
I'm not into legends,
man.
Spitting on me, but dude, if like they're gonna fucking, do it,
like a fucking camel or what?
No, I'm just saying, dude. It's like just
fucking slobber all over
that's
you.
That's a sign of respect in some like Star Wars universe.
Oh, right. that's like third world countries, man.
Steve's Bumble, spaghetti dinners, turtles, legend spitting on me.
Did you guys look at my phone when you guys fucking... No, hold on. I literally just asked your girl about spaghetti dinners. Did you look at my phone when I was gone?
Yeah.
Please spit in my mouth.
No, are you guys fucking serious?
Yeah, dude. I know what your spaghetti is, dude. You boil ramen and pour fucking tomato sauce on that shit.
Oh, no network connection, thank God.
No, but I learned a lot about that from actually watching a lot of Todd Prignitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was a pretty cool dude.
We've heard a lot of stories about him when we did the
I never met him
Deer Classic. Yeah, we never met him, and yeah, he had that unfortunate accident. Rest in peace, brother. But
you want to talk about a fireball,
big buck killer, man.
For sure. Dude.
Was Johnny never Utah put got a into tape? Yeah,
never ever put a tape to a deer he killed.
That's cool, man. That says a lot.
And the one is probably like five of them, but the one is complete magnum, probably like pushing 200.
Really? It says a lot about him, man. I mean, and measure. I'm a measure for Pope and Young, and I'll even throw this question out there. Steve's looking at me all weird. How worth it is putting a score on a deer?
I've just always done it, I guess.
But see, this year,
it's fun.
Like, the unique deer really catch my eye.
Because
there's a deer that Doug seen him today. He had him at 20 yards. He didn't shoot him, but if he would have came in, he's probably 160-inch deer if he had both sides. But his whole left side, all the tines are broke off about, they're about 2 inches tall.
That's fucking
cool. They're snapped off, all of them.
How? I don't get how they do that shit.
I don't either, but I told Doug, I'm like, you know, that night I seen him, he was at 60 yards, he came up the ridge, but he wouldn't come any closer. I'm like, if he would have came in, I would have shot him. He's like, why? I'm like, because he was unique, he was cool as fuck, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Doug sends me a Snapchat today, he's at 20 yards eating acorns. Just right underneath him.
It's just,
damn it!
It's wild. There, when I was this buck that I'm on, I thought when I saw a deer, because I went out, I was like, I saw him the night before, and from all the information I got, it's like, dude, if he's out in the field, he might be coming back there. Talk to Kurt, talk to Mark. It was like, go out and sit in that same spot. He might come back. He might get a shot at him. I saw a deer, and then I just like saw antlers. I got pumped. I'm like, oh my god! And this is in the morning. This buck comes in, and all of a sudden, like, my mind starts racing. I start seeing a deer, and I start seeing a little antler. Well, he comes in and it's not a fork buck, but he's got, it was really weird to see him. He's got at least like 10 inches on his left side, and it splits off. So it's like 10 and then, you know, 5. It's goofy, and his whole right side is just gone, broke off. And I was so let down. I'm like, damn. I was hoping for that buck, and then I started looking at him some more, and I was like, like,
your inner redneck, Dale Earnhardt guy.
I started thinking about it, and like the first thing I thought, I was like, dude, he would be a really cool skull mount in my kitchen, and it was like, damn. As soon as he walked away, I thought to myself, like, damn, I should have shot that buck, but like in the moment, I was like, don't shoot him because, you know, the deer I'm after could be following him, or they could be in the area. I didn't know. I was like, I don't want to cause any commotion, but yeah, as soon as he walked away, I didn't see anything in the morning. I was like, damn, I should have shot that deer.
But some of that shit's bizarre though, because I had another deer last night that he was, you know, he would have went 125 inches if he had both sides.
Yeah.
8 point. But he had 4 points on one side, and the other side was totally snapped off. He had like a two inch nub.
I don't get how they do
like
that.
Those are spindly. Like their bones ain't strong. They ain't drinking their milk.
It was literally like a two inch spike coming out of the one side, but you could totally, like, he was 10 yards away.
No shit.
You can tell it was a full main beam and everything, but it was snapped off.
Soft bones.
It's crazy.
You got soft bones or you got hard bones, bro?
You got hard bones. You got that osteoporosis.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You better drink your milk.
Dude, I'm about to hit your jaw. How strong is that motherfucker?
Hey, dude, I'm not off the titty milk yet, dude. I got strong bones.
Damn, I bet you do.
My button's strong as shit. Try to push it.
Never get sick. Strong bones.
Bro, anyone who wants it can get it. Come on, try to push my button. I won't go to sleep.
Dude, your turtle's going straight into the crock pot.
You are from Rock Island.
I'm still eating that turtle.
You ain't eating that, dude.
I'm winning that bet right now.
We never shook on it. Plus, I was drunk when I said it, so.
It's on record.
That don't count.
Kurt already said that I was drunk, so there's reasonable doubt. The contract is null and void until I shoot a giant, and then I get to have Sam and Isla live in my house.
Connor Wakefield heard the bet. It was on record.
I'm still going to eat your turtle, though.
Dude, I will kick your window in and grab your turtle and put that thing.
Bro, you don't even know what room he's in, dude. I moved him. He's in PC. My turtle is in protective custody right now. You will never find him.
We're putting that fucker in a can cooker.
Yeah, dude.
What's up?
Turtle guy? We got a turtle guy, a cat guy. Please tell me you got a dog.
He's an eating turtle guy.
I got two dogs and a cat.
Cats are not
how to feel about that. Hey, you're excited about the two dogs.
Oh, I might be getting a bearded dragon, too. I'm that guy.
You got a dog, though, too.
Hey.
Oh, hell yeah, I got a dog.
We'll just put some, like, steak seasoning in a crock pot, pepper, butter. Turn that crock pot on high. Boil the water. We'll put a chicken.
Put him in a can cooker, bro.
You should have put a chicken in there. You don't mix chicken and turtle.
No, put a chicken broth cube in there. Fill up a little water.
That was a little bouillon cube.
Yeah.
Boil that fucker out so you can get him out of a shell. Oh, yeah. What's up,
dude? I'll put that shell on a plaque for you. You can put it in your house.
I'll hang the fucker up for
Eric's
sure.
Eric's gonna wear it on necklace the next podcast. What's up, son? He's gonna have
where is that fucking hat?
It's gold, all silver.
Where is a hat?
Hey, Steve, a rattle can your fucking turtle shell, dude.
How old is that turtle?
To be honest with you, when we got him, I think he might have been one or two. So that turtle's a mature, you know, 5-year-old.
Does your ex ever hit you up to ask you how the turtle's doing?
Huh?
Does your ex ever hit you up?
She died. You didn't hear about that?
Oh, dude, good for her.
Oh, it was great. Her.
Dude died in a hang gliding accident.
She got hit by a car?
No, it was great. Her new
boyfriend. Did you hear my girlfriend? Yeah, she died.
Yeah. Her new boyfriend beat her to death with a spatula. It was wild. Oh, no, maybe that's something I made up in my head.
That's a stiff spatula,
I'm
man.
Kidding.
Man, that's a fucking dream you had. No. I'm still going to eat your turtle.
It was a nightmare. I'm still deeply in love with her. I'm kidding.
You can't say that.
No, you can't.
And I'm not going to cut it out either.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude, I'm just kidding.
No, you're a fucking lunatic.
Oh, man.
Allegedly. You like that?
Allegedly.
Cole Young, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the whole turtle thing seems kind of fucked up now.
Wait, yeah. Why
is that ketchup?
Why did I ever say I was going to eat him?
Because you want to take every good part of my life and you want to ruin it.
That's
because
true.
Your
That's
sadness true. And the only thing that makes me happy, you want to take every. This is how big of a piece of
I'm not
shit you
sad
are.
At all.
It's usually your typical Iowa guy, right? You want to take every.
Hand me a beer.
That's the last one right there.
No, I think we were just talking about your turtle, and I just
know.
Wanted to eat the fucker.
I don't know. You're like, yeah, let's eat
Eric
it.
Just fills a crock pot full of Bush Light and throws your turtle in there.
You're a fucker.
That'd probably be
fucking
delicious,
a, Billy,
actually.
I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't.
But it's some hoagie buns with some mozzarella.
Some hoagie buns.
Shit.
Dude, everybody loves hoagie buns.
Hoagie buns.
What do you...
Huh?
Cole, thank you for joining the show, my sir. It, did you have fun?
Yeah, I had a good time.
Did you really?
I did.
Thanks for sharing the story. Thanks for being on Team Hang and Bang.
Sorry we ruined it with our whole personal lives.
Yeah, dude, I'm stoked that I was, selected, obviously.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, I was feeling a little bit of pressure, but so I'm, really excited to shoot this deer and be able to,
it's a stud,
quote
man.
Unquote, represent
you
for
did,
you guys.
You repped hard. You repped hard.
It came to a
so
final
it
vote.
Might be 10 years, but...
We'll have you back on 10 years.
Another one
yeah,
in 10
sounds
years.
Good.
The episode 1400 and
of like six kids by then.
I'd say probably 10.
I'll probably be dead
I'll
in a hang gliding accident.
Hang gliding,
dude.
You got a hang glide now.
Your ex girlfriend's boyfriend beat you to death
with your own turtle.
He found the shell. They broke into Eric's house. That was totally premeditated. Eric's house getting broken into, and me being having my scroll.
Your scroll?
My skull crushed in.
I thought you were going with scrotum, but you came back with
scrotum. No, scrotum fixed. I'm good.
All right.
They told me I got too wild at trade show, so they had me fixed. So I'm pretty tame now.
Yeah,
that's why I've been doing better lately.
You stop peeing on
like
stuff?
A fucking
yeah. They
cat.
Had me fixed.
Too much time at the DSG booth. Be careful.
Way too much time.
All right, round of positivity before we close this out, Eric.
I don't even know right now.
Thanks, man. Cole, what you got?
Just anything positive?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Just kill what makes you happy, man.
It's a good round of positivity.
Doesn't have to be a 170.
Yeah, just wait 10 years and shoot a 170.
Steve?
It's that time of year. I'm surrounded by good people, and I get to tell really stupid shit to the masses. And, yeah, it's great. I love life right now. That's what's positive. And I'm probably going to kill something giant. We'll just say that.
When's the last time you were in a tree?
What day is it? In podcast land.
Stop
it.
It
was a few days ago.
How many days ago? 2 weeks?
No, hell no. It was like what day
a week ago.
Okay, I'm going to be real positive on my positivity here.
3 days ago.
Go for it.
Steve's on a good buck. I feel that Steve, if he puts the effort in,
that's where I was going with this.
We'll kill a good deer. Kill that buck, hopefully.
I think I'll kill two good deer.
I hope you do, man. I do. I hope you do. This is going to be a good weekend to hunt. Podcast land, you missed it already. You should have already killed. Look at the podcast with you. Cole, thank you for coming on your first podcast ever. Congrats on a giant.
Thank you.
And you know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.